Now here's the good news. The good news is next Sunday is Christmas, but because Christmas is on Sunday, the bad news is you already had that day off anyway. So you just got to go back to work Monday. Listen, we all get bad news and we all get good news. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about good news. Now, for those of you who are, we'll just say mature, of a mature age, you might remember a TV show called Hee-Haw. All right? That's real comedy right there, all right? All you highbrow comedy people won't be able to appreciate this. But there was, and we've seen this skit done right here at Grace Point in our Dream Team Christmas party a few years ago by our very own children's pastor, Pastor Jack. And so, I'm not going to act it out. I'm going to leave the acting to him. But there's a sketch in the old Hee-Haw show, and it was Archie Campbell, and he was a barber. And he would just have somebody in the barber chair, and then he would tell funny stories. And one of those things that he would tell would be the good news, bad news joke. And he had more than one rendition of this joke. And it would always start off with him as the barber cutting the guy's hair who's sitting in the chair. And he says to him, "Hey, I guess you heard about my terrible misfortune." And the guy in the chair getting his hair cut would obviously say, "No, I haven't heard about it. What happened?" And he said, "Well, my great uncle died." And he said, "Oh, that's bad." And he said, "No, that's good." And the guy in the chair said, "How come? Well, how's that good?" And he said, "Well, when my uncle died, he left me $50,000. And he said, "Oh, that's good." And he said, "No, that's bad." And he said, "Well, why is that bad?" And he said, "Because the IRS, when they got through with me, I only had $25,000 left." And he said, "Oh, that's bad." And he said, "No, that's good." And he said, "Well, why is that good?" And he said, "Well, it's left me enough money to buy an airplane and learn how to fly." "Well, that's good." "No, that's bad." He said, "I was flying upside down the other day and I fell out of that thing." "Oh." He said, "That's bad." And he said, "No, that's good." He said, "How is that good?" He said, "Well, I looked down as I was falling and there was a giant haystack right under me." He said, "Well, that was good." And he said, "No, that was bad. Because when I got a little bit closer, there was a pitchfork aiming straight at me." He said, "That's bad." He said, "No, that's good, because I missed the pitchfork." He said, "Well, that's good." He said, "No, that's bad." He said, "How come?" He said, "Because I missed the whole haystack." All right. So there's good news and there's bad news in life. We all get it. If somebody said to you today, "You won the lottery," and you say, "I didn't even buy a ticket." Yay, that's good news. And it would feel so good. And then there's things in our life where we don't like it to happen. We don't want those things to happen. And we know it's just bad news. And Jesus came to earth so he could share with us the good news. We already knew what the bad news was. Life is hard and we don't have a Savior. That was the bad news. But Jesus came along, and in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says these words. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," the good news. That word gospel, when you translate it into English, it just means good news. Jesus came to share the good news with you and me. He came to share news that nobody on earth had ever heard. Now listen, we understand that there with bad good news comes bad news. I mean, you know the old joke of the doctor said to the guy, "Well, the good news is you have a month to live. The bad news is we've been trying to get a hold of you for 3 weeks," right? So, but here's the thing with Jesus. Some of you a little slower. You'll catch up. Stay with me. I mean, if you can't keep up with Hee-Haw material, it's bad. All right. But when it comes to Jesus, it's just all good news. Because we already had the bad news first. We understand this when somebody says to us, "I got good news, I got bad news." And they say, "Which one do you want first?" Most of us say, "Give me the bad news. Just give me the bad news and let me deal with it, all right?" And maybe if you're just an eternal optimist, you say, "Go ahead and give me the good news, because the bad news can't be that bad." But when it comes to Jesus, it's not that way. He's giving us the good news because we were already in possession of the bad news. The bad news is I cannot save myself. My sin will kill me. I don't have anybody to provide for me. I don't have anywhere to look for help. But when Jesus came along, he said, look, here's the good news. Christianity is very simply the good news of Jesus coming on the scene in your life and mine. When Jesus was born, the angels came and announced the good news to some shepherds. Now, if shepherds were dropped into 2022, they would be blue-collar workers. They'd be regular guys. As a matter of fact, they might even be a little less than blue-collar workers, right? In society's ideas. But love, the fact that we are a blue-collar church makes me happy about this. That when Jesus, when God wanted to announce that Jesus was going to be born, he went to a bunch of blue-collar guys and sent some angels to tell them what was going to happen. So in Luke chapter 2, it says this, but the angels said to them, he's talking to these shepherds, don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So you got this beautiful scene of these guys just out doing their job. And then these angels show up. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm out there on the back 40 taking care of the sheep, a bunch of angels in the sky might be a little bit frightening. And they said, look, you got nothing to be afraid of. As a matter of fact, it's even bigger than you not being afraid in this moment. This is much bigger than that. I got even bigger news. There's lots of stuff you don't have to be afraid of now that Jesus has been born. And so I want to share five reasons with you real quick. Then we're going to receive communion together. Five reasons that this announcement of good news was so important for you and me today. First one is this, the good news relieves us of fear. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news, he said. Now the Jewish people during that time were nervous about their future because Jerusalem had been overtaken by the Romans. The Romans were sort of overtaking the world at the time. They were a force that really couldn't be stopped. They had overtaken Jerusalem, and they wanted desperately for somebody to help them, but they couldn't figure it out. And so they were a little bit nervous and a little bit afraid about their future. Here's the important thing. When Jesus came on the scene, he wasn't saying, I'm going to fix all the political stuff. I'm going to make everything just to your liking. I'm going to change the culture so that you have everything you want. No, no, no. He said, I'm leaving you right here in this circumstance, but I don't want you to be afraid because I'm right there with you. When you and I are in the middle of turmoil and circumstances in our own life, those circumstances might not change quickly. As a matter of fact, it may take a long time for those circumstances to change. God is never on my time schedule. I always say, Lord, I'd like for you to do this quick. I mean, if you can take care of this one, Lord, today. And most of the time he says, just give it a minute. I'm working on it. All right. And in the process of that, though, he's saying, don't be afraid. I got your back. I'm with you. You don't have to worry about your future is what Jesus is saying to us. The good news is there's trouble all around. You see the bad news. The good news is I got your future in the palm of my hands. I want to say that to somebody this morning. So no matter what's happening right now, when you look around and you see bad news, remember this. That Jesus is the one who has taken care of your future. He's taking care of today and tomorrow and next week and next year and all the stuff that's got you up at night. He's in charge. He's got it. Amen? He's taking care of it. Here's the second thing we need to remember about the good news. The good news brought great joy. It brought great joy. Look at the scripture again. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now, there are lots of things in life that bring us bad news and that make us sad, but the good news always brings us joy. Now, if you've never seen Charlie Brown's Christmas, I need you to go home and look it up, all right? I think you can even, don't tell anybody, I think you can even get a bootleg copy on YouTube, all right? If you haven't seen it, I'm joking, I'm not joking. Charlie Brown was having trouble getting into the Christmas spirit, as Charlie Brown always did. He was always down in the dumps. He's always looking down. Lucy's always mean to him. I mean, come on, girls. He's just having a hard time, as he always did. And Linus, who's just walking around dragging his blanket, looking like he doesn't know what in the world's going on most of the time, he says, Charlie Brown, this is a quote to live by, Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. How many of us are doing this with our life? God has blessed us, and he has so many good things for us, and we choose to not focus on the stuff he's in control of and he's working on in our lives, but we choose to focus on the stuff that's the bad news instead of focusing on the good news. Joy is about cooperating with God and letting him do the work in us. The Apostle Paul said it this way, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I love that because he told them, you need to rejoice. You need to have some joy. You need to remember to have some joy along the way. But he knew one time was not going to be good enough. You remember when your kids were small and you're like, go clean your room. And they walked away and you're like, hey, go clean your room. Because you knew the first time really didn't mean anything. It was just like, dad's talking again, right? We all did it when we were little. Just so don't be picking on your kids. But we say it two times. Why? Because we want them to get it. The Apostle Paul said to you and me, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. Have some joy, two different times. And the good news is that Jesus is the one who gives us that joy. Here's number three. The good news is for all people. All people. Man, this one's big. For all people. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Not just some of them. Not just some of us, all of us. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how you've messed up your life. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't even matter where you're headed right now. What matters is that we realize the good news is for all of us. It's for everybody. It's not just for the good people. It's not just for the ones who get everything right, which I don't know where those people live, but they don't live around here. It's for all of us. These angels came to say to the shepherds, there's good news, and it's going to give joy to everybody. Everybody who desires this. So I want you to think, don't say it out loud. I want you to think of the meanest, rottenest person in your life right now. Just think of them. You already got their name, don't you? It's easy. The gospel, the good news is for them. The one you're like, I don't even know if God can get a hold of them. It's for them. God cares about them. It's for all of us. Here's the fourth one. The good news tells us about the Savior. The good news of Jesus tells us about the Savior. It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. 700 years before Jesus would actually be born, Isaiah prophesied, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, I don't know about you, but 700 years before Jesus would be born, it was prophesied that he would be born exactly the way he is. Now, in our society, this word Savior doesn't mean a whole lot anymore. We think of ourselves as self-sufficient, and we try to plan our lives and do our thing and accomplish it on our own and all this stuff. But there are moments in your life that give you a little peek into what it means to need a Savior. Like all of us non-mechanical people, when the car breaks down, who do you call? Call an expert. You call the mechanic. And then we talk bad about him because he charged us so much, but we'd be sitting on the road without him. We understand that. He does something we can't do. When your body's broke down and when you finally are at a point where you're like, I'm sick, I need some help, where do you go? You go to the doctor. Because you're saying he or she knows something I don't know, and I need to go to them. And when it comes to our eternal soul, I can't fix this on my own. I can't wash away my own sins. I can't change my future. I can't give myself eternal life. I have to have a Savior. And the good news in front of these shepherds as these angels were about to get ready to sing is, look, the Savior is being born. He is in the town of David. He is being born, and you are going to go see him. You're going to need to find out about this. He wants to save every one of us. Some of us in this room have been carrying the load for so long, and it's been so heavy, and we wonder why we're so tired. When my eternity is in the balance, I look for a Savior. Some of us have been trying to be our own Savior for so long that we're exhausted. We're trying to get it all right and do it all right and fix it and make sure everybody else is okay. And we've forgotten that God did not make us the Savior of our life. He's the Savior of our life. That's the good news. Somebody in this room or watching online this morning can take a breath and lay down the burden, because you're not the Savior. You're not the Savior of your family. You're not the Savior of your job. You're not the Savior of your own life. Jesus is the only one. Amen? Amen. Amen. And here's number five. The good news is personal. It's personal. Look at what the scripture says. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to you. Just look at somebody. Just look at somebody for a second. Just look at them. All right. Just smile. Don't be ugly face. All right. And say these words. The good news is for you. Amen. The good news is for you. Now listen, that was no angel that just said that to you, all right? Except, fellas, if you were looking at your wife, you just say, honey, he does not know what he's talking about, all right? All right. The good news is for all of us. It's Christmas time, and many years ago, Jody and I would attempt to send out Christmas cards, and somewhere along the way, we realized we are not Christmas card people. You will never get a Christmas card from us. We will hug your neck and tell you we love you when we see you, but you are not getting a Christmas card. Now, here's the problem. Some of you are great at it, and you send out Christmas cards. I don't know where you get these addresses anymore. But you do. I don't know how in the world you do that. And you send this heartfelt card, handwritten personally by you from your fireplace while drinking hot chocolate at your house. I don't know how you do that. But here. Then, and those, when those come in the mail, you're like, oh, this is just so sweet. Man, these people, man. I want to be like these people. That's how we feel. And then, just a few envelopes down under that in the mailbox, we get the Christmas card from the insurance company. It was printed off with 300,000 other Christmas cards, but it's personalized. It's got your name in a different type than the Christmas card. It doesn't feel very personal. It's like, well, they're sending me the card. If I don't have insurance with them next year, I'm not getting the card, all right? They're not going to leave me on the list, okay? But when you get the heartfelt handwritten card, it just means something. The good news gives us peace on a personal level. It's personal. The good news is personal. It's for you. It's for me. It's been, not only is it personal, it's personalized. For your particular sin. How many times have we heard and said around here when somebody says, I can't give my heart to Christ because you don't know what I've done. And I always like to come back and go, and you don't know what I've done. Now, there you go. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. It's personalized to you for every mistake, every failure, every sin. It gives us peace. That peace, there may not be peace in our world, but there can be peace in our hearts. Now, listen, I'm no singer, so I'm going to need you to help me on this, all right? Let's look at that next slide. The last two lines of this say, sleep in heavenly peace. I'm going to start this song, and if you don't sing, it's going to get ugly, all right? I want us just to sing this song. Amen. And I'm going to start it off. Here we go. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Here we go. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Give yourself a hand. Amen. This particular verse in this song is about Jesus. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. We get this beautiful picture of Jesus laying in a feed trough, is what the Bible says. Swaddling clothes, he's been wrapped up tight, and he's sleeping with peace. Now, why would that baby Jesus, be sleeping with peace? Because when he came from heaven, to be born of a virgin, he knew the plan was for everyone who ever believed in him to be saved and have eternal life. There are some, amen, go ahead, amen. There are some of us in this room lay our heads down at night and there is no peace. Maybe we need to remember the Savior has already come. He gave us the good news, and the good news is our future is in his hands. He's the one that provides for our future. So if that's you today, you find yourself worried all the time, we're just going to pray for you today. I've been there. I know. I get it. All the things we can't control just bombard us. It's easy to feel like a failure. Sleep in heavenly peace. When we lay our heads down at night, we can trust that God's going to be up all night, that we don't have to stay up all night. I heard an elderly gentleman tell me one time, I have so much peace that when I can flip off the light, be in bed and asleep before the light ever goes out in the fixture. How many of us have that kind of peace? The Bible says this, and if you don't have your communion elements, just raise your hand. If you didn't get those on your way in this morning, just raise your hand and the usher will be around in just a minute to get that to you. And while they're getting that to us, I want to read you this scripture in 1 Corinthians 11. Carlos, can I have one of those? Thank you. If that's you and you're without peace, this next scripture is just for you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 says this, so then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. One of the things that steals our joy the quickest is when we are not in communication with God, when something has separated us from connecting with God. And many times we've allowed sinful behavior to creep into our lives and it disconnects us from God. And we start to think we've got to do it on our own. We might not have meant to. I mean, we might not have meant to think that way, but because of our actions, it's moved us away from God. So I want us right now, before we move any further, just to take a minute. If you've never put your faith in Christ, today is a great day to start that journey. And it's as simple, we say it around here, it's as easy as A, B, C. You have to admit that you've sinned. You have to believe in Jesus and you have to confess him as Lord of your life. Admit, believe, confess. It's that simple. That starts your journey with the Lord, gives you a relationship with him so he can start to work on you. Or maybe you've been walking with the Lord a long time, but there's been some things that you've allowed to creep into your life that is creating a wedge between you and God. It's separating you. And now's the time to say, Lord, I just need to confess that and get that junk out of there. I need a Savior. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I know what I'm doing is not good, not right, and it's separating me from you, and I want you to cleanse me, and I want you to forgive me. I want to examine myself today and give you the room to work in my life. We're going to pray, and let's just move toward him right now. Just move toward him. Father, we thank you so much, God. You've been so good to us along this journey of life. You have blessed us, God. The good news is for us every single day. Lord, if there's anybody in the room or watching online today that doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray that today, Lord, today, God, they would start that journey with you. They would admit their sin. They would believe in you. They would confess you as Lord. And we pray that that journey would start, God. Lord, for the person who's just moved away from you, who's allowed sinful action in, God, we pray today that you would just move in their heart today. Just help us, God, to confess that, get it out of the way, and give you some room to work. God, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, you've been so good to us. You've answered our prayers over and over again. And as we, in just a minute, receive communion, Lord, let it remind us, help us to remember what you've done. Help us with grateful hearts to receive this. And we thank you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open up your bread and hold it, if you would. Amen. You can go ahead and open up the wine if you would like to. We'll just hold that together. The reason I love to observe the Lord's Supper at Christmas time is because often we get caught up in the birth of Jesus and we forget what he did at the other end of his life. That he not only was born and lived for us, he died for us. Gave up his life in our place as our substitute. And so the night before Jesus was going to be crucified, he gathers his disciples and he washes their feet and he knows he's going to be betrayed. He knows his disciples, some of them are going to deny him that very night, and yet he served them. And he loved them because he knew he was about to die on the cross for people who were just that messed up. He loved them. And he said these words. So take a bread in your hand and let's hold it up together. He said this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. Lord, thank you for your broken body. Thank you for dying on that cross for us, Lord. We thank you right now, God. The scripture says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come.'" Let's take the cup together. Amen. Amen. Would you just stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, right now for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for all your blessings. Thank you, God, right now for your mercy and your grace. If your family is close by you right now, here's what we're going to pray for as we close together. Jesus was with his disciples and they were as close to him as anybody else on earth. So maybe there's a friend close by you, that's okay. Somebody that you can pray for. If you see somebody that's by themselves, just grab them. Just make them an official part of your family right now. There you go. They probably got family somewhere else or just not here right now. Here's our prayer right now. God, make us closer together as families. Help us to be closer to you as our Savior. Father, right now, we just pray one for another, God. We are in the middle of the hustle and bustle of the holidays. And Lord, we want to take just a minute to slow down and remember who you are and what you've done. We want to remember the good news, God. Help us, Lord, through these holidays not to focus on the bad news. Help us to focus on the good news, God. That you are the one that gives us joy. And you are the one that gives us peace. And you are our Savior. Lord, help us to focus in on the good news. I pray, Lord, for every family. Maybe there's just one person here today representing their family. Or maybe it's several people together representing their family. God, we just ask that you would move in our families and our homes and help us to be close to one another. Help us to learn how to deal with conflict, and help us to learn how to deal with disagreements, and help us, God, to put aside differences and allow you to do your work in our own families, God. And then we pray also, and even more importantly, God, that we as individuals and as families would just move closer to you, God. That the holidays would move us closer to you, and there would be the peace of God that passes all understanding that would guard our hearts and our minds. And we just give it to you today, and we thank you, God, for what you're doing, what you have planned to do, and we're going to trust you to take care of all of it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. This is, before you go today, we have refreshments out there. We got some delicious cookies and punch and coffee and all that stuff. So make sure you stop by, get your family photo out at the photo op, and hang out. Just let somebody know that you care about them. Love you. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you for being here.